Good morning and welcome to Thursday morning, April the 11th in 2024 on When I Rise. So we continue Year Beat, the third Sunday after Easter, and on the Thursday of the week, we'd like to take a look at the New Testament letter passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary and this week of the church's calendar year. And so we find ourselves in the letter 1 John. We'll go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. First John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Look at the remarkable love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. That indeed is what we are. That's why the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know Him. Beloved ones, we are now, already, God's children. It hasn't yet been revealed what we are going to be. We know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. All who have the hope in Him make themselves pure, just as He is pure. Everyone who goes on sinning is breaking the law. Sin, in fact, is lawlessness. And you know that He was revealed so that He might take away sins, and there is no sin in Him. Everyone who abides in Him does not go on sinning. Everyone who goes on sinning has not seen Him or known Him. Children, don't let anyone deceive you. The person who does righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. This is the word of God for us. So I remember reading these words earlier in my days when I first started reading the Bible, and these seemed to be like very definitive terms, particularly that one line of everyone who goes on sinning is breaking the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. And then it says everyone who abides in Him does not go on sinning. Everyone who goes on sinning has not seen Him or known Him. And so I remember just going, man, like I still commit sins all the time. Am I sure that I know this God or not? And so I just chalk this up to this is ancient literature. This is not written to me, but it's written for me. And so it's worth just diving into the world of the Bible and trying to figure out what did the original audience mean by sin? What did it mean by righteousness and all those things? And there still is plenty of variances. There's like a spectrum of thought on this. But it does seem like John's view of sin is missing the mark, right? It's an archery term. So if you're aiming at a target and you miss it, that is, in essence, the metaphor for sin. And so in many ways, I think you and I would agree, we'd even admit that we do miss the mark. We miss the mark in the things that we leave undone, maybe a sin of omission, the things that we do deliberately, the sin of commission, right? Those are the terms that we use in this area. So can any of us claim that we're in Him and have seen Him if we continue to miss the mark, right? I just remember a great New Testament scholar, somebody who was steeped in ancient literature, who was also, you know, a person who was heavily involved in church, loved the people of God. And I remember him lecturing on what did Paul, John, and the rest think of sin, and what was this first century idea of sin and righteousness. And I think I like the way that he put it, not because it, I think, alleviated, you know, some of the pressure that I felt in this regard. He said, imagine like you're, you know, there's like a well-worn path. You know that you should stay on this path as you walk through like a heavily wooded area. And if you stay on that well-worn path, you'll be safe and you won't lose your way. You'll continue to, you know, find your way from one end of the wood to the other, and you won't have any anxiety or worry about what you should do next, right? He said, that's the way of righteousness. This is the well-worn path. It's the plan of God for all of creation. It's the plan of God for us. And so we walk on this path, and we can do so. But because our minds wander, and because we get these, you know, not so brilliant ideas, we wander off the path and we get ourselves stuck into the wood. And next thing you know, like we look around and see if we could retrace our steps. And it's very difficult because we haven't gone straight from the path, but we've, you know, gone this way and that. And so how do we know that we can get back on the path? Is there a light post that we can somehow, you know, consider to be true and helpful to lead us back? How can we get back there? And so this teacher said, that when we wander away, that is sin. We get off the path of righteousness. But instead of being doomed forever, what the ancient mind thought was, it was just our duty and it was our call, and it should be our incentive to get back on the path, because that is the grace that God gives us. The grace is the path, right? And so we need to find our way there. If we resist the path, we resist the grace. We find ourselves ensnared by so many things and the fear and the dread of being abandoned in a pretty vulnerable place, pursues us, chases after us. And so he said, it seemed like in the mind of the ancient audience, they understood that people misstepped all the time and they wandered off that path. But those who are righteous are the ones who found their way back on that path. Instantly began to help make some connections for me, because if you can recall, John the Baptist's parents, even though they were older, his mom was barren, not able to have a child. But one of the things that described them is that they were righteous and upright people. And this is something that this idea carries to our attention, is that John the Baptist's parents weren't faultless, but they knew how to get their way back to the path, right? And I think this is probably what's going on in the language here in 1 John. He's already told us in chapter 1 that if we claim that we do not have sin, that we lie and we deceive ourselves, right? And so he's already established that. So I think he knows that his audience has sin in their life. You and I have sin in our life. We have missed the mark. But what deems us and marks us out as righteous is that we've got this craving to come back to the path, right? And so that is something that needs to be expressed over our lives again and again throughout the life of faith. And I think that's why we turn up for worship, because we get to sing song lyrics that remind us of the grace of God, the love of God that's in our hearts. And so as we make our way back to the path, we know that we don't have to hang our head in shame, but we can know that we're going to be embraced by a loving and a forgiving God, right? It's why we look at, the lectionary texts that tell us that God pursues the sinner and he wants us to be brought back into his covenant family. I think that's why Revelation 3 fits so nicely within a text like this from yesterday, is because that's what God was saying to the whole church in Laodicea, is that there's an apathy. Something has set into their spirits that has kept them from the path. And so what John tells us here in 1 John 3, what John told the church in Laodicea through the words of Jesus, to what we see again and again in Scripture, is the people of God. What makes us different is not that we are so completely distinct from the rest of the world around us. I think some are. I've met some people who they stick out in a good way, that they hover above all the different snares that the average human experiences, right? But they're still not perfect. But I think what sets the Christian apart is that there is this urgency within us, because God has poured his love into our hearts. That's why we want to get back to the well-lit path and not to be left to our own devices and plans into the deep of the wood, where we can be ensnared by so many issues and problems and sin and pain, right? And so I hope that meets us today. I hope that meets us into this place where, as those who God pursues and has loved, that if we find ourselves, if we were honest and say, I haven't just like had a couple missteps, but I've been wandering far away from the well-lit path, that we would find our way back today, because as we find our way back, we realize that God's way is better than our way, number one, but number two, that he's gracious and kind, and like the parable of the prodigal son conveys, it's God's waiting for us. He's like, watching from far away, and as soon as we get into sight, he runs after us, and he embraces us, and he brings us back into that well-lit place where there's love and safety and the covenant promises of God. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the everlasting love of God that's been poured into our hearts, a love that sought us when we were far away off, entangled in so many different painful things and burdens that we could not carry. And we thank you that even though we weren't perfect, you loved us still. And even though we're not perfect today, you continue to love us, that you promise that you separate us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. And so, God, we confess again today, fresh and new, that we've missed the mark. We've left things undone that we should be doing, and we've done things that we shouldn't as God's people. And so today we thank you that we don't have to hang our heads in shame, wondering if this is the day that you lead us out the door and close it behind us. We thank you that what we see in the face of Jesus Christ is a generous and kind God, whose kindness even leads us to repentance. And so this day we embrace your grace once more, and we ask that you would forgive us, that you would cleanse us and make us clean, and that you give us this great desire within our hearts to find our way back to the well-lit path where we can find our home eternally there. And so, Lord, we just simply pray that your kingdom would come and will be done in our lives, and that we would know that freedom that comes from knowing you, and that we'd walk in that freedom and victory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.